It's a joy to be with y'all this morning. I want to invite you now to take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to John chapter 11. And let's be excited about opening the Word of the Lord. I want to take an opportunity also to welcome our gathering next door. We have a gathering of our congregation, our contemporary service, and we're really thrilled to have y'all with us as well. And thank you for your presence and celebrate what God is doing next door as well. Well, let's turn to John chapter 11. And as you're turning to find John chapter 11, let me catch you up real quick on the narrative. All right, we have a family here, and it's Martha, Mary, and their brother Lazarus. And if you know anything, they're a special family, all right? Mary's the one who would cry, and her tears anointed the feet of Jesus, and she, as she wept, she dried her tears with her hair. So we have a special interaction with this family, Jesus. There's a love for Jesus that is reciprocated by Jesus for this family. They have a really special bond as you read in Scripture. Well, Lazarus gets sick. And he gets bad sick. He's not just, you know, tummy ache sick, headache sick. Lazarus is on the verge of death. And they send word to Jesus. Hey, Lazarus is sick and we need you to come home. He's going to die. And Jesus instead sends word back. This is not the sickness that leads to death, but the sickness that will glorify my Father. So he sends word back and he continues to do ministry outside of Jerusalem for a few days there in the countryside. Well, we read on, Lazarus dies, and Jesus says it's time to go back a few days later, and they come back to Bethany, they come back to the area of Jerusalem, they come back to minister to this family, and Jesus is coming back to raise Lazarus from the dead. And so we're going to pick up here in verse 17 of John 11, and kind of read on as we continue throughout this story. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. So they sent word before he died, and now it's been about a week almost of that Lazarus has since passed. They've had his funeral, now they put him in the tomb. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and she met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." But Jesus, she's not getting it. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" Very pointed question. "Do you believe this?" And she said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Let's pray and thank God for his word and then jump into our text. God, we thank you for this time. And God, we thank you for the opportunity, Lord, we have to be your church, to gather as your church, and Lord, to come be a part of your word this morning. And I pray, Lord, for your spirit to work in us. Lord, to continue to call out the sin. Lord, to call out the areas of darkness, to call out the places, Lord, we don't serve you best and serve you first. And I pray, Lord, that you would work in this place for our good and for your glory. God, I pray for lost hearts to come home. Lord, to come and know salvation. I pray for distant Christians, Lord, to come home and to submit and surrender to the Father. And I pray for us, Lord, just continue to seek your glory and to seek your best, Lord, as your word does the work this morning. It's for your glory that we pray. And God's people said, amen. Now, I want you to understand, here's going to be the argument that we have from our text. Here's the thesis, is that God gives hope to our past, God gives hope to our future, but he ushers, he brings that hope into our present. God brings hope, God gives hope to our past, he gives hope to our future, but he brings that hope to be living and active today in our present. How are we going to get there? What is the argument from this text? Here's the hope that we have, is that number one, Jesus gives hope to our past. Jesus gives hope to our past. Let's look at our text. We're going to stay in our text today. In verse 17, "Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been dead in the tomb 4 days. All right, remember, he delayed. He waited. And now Lazarus is not only dead, he's dead. All right, he's been dead. Lazarus was near Jerusalem about 2 miles, or Bethany was near Jerusalem about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary, they were a pretty prominent family, to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard Jesus was coming, she was excited. She went to meet him and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. But Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Lord, if you would have only been here, my brother would not have died." See, Martha, immediately, as soon as she goes to meet Jesus, she immediately addresses and brings up the past. All right, that's been at least 4 days, probably more than that, because we know that he was sick and he was dying and then he had to die. Right? So we know it's been some time. And she immediately addresses, Lord, if only you would have been here, he wouldn't have died. If you would have just shown up, he would have lived. Right? So we have Martha immediately focused and has her disappointment fixed on the past. All right, you don't have to be an expert in first century Christianity or first century history. Just stop for a second. Imagine what it would have been like to care for a dying brother. All right, there's no ICU. All right, there's no ER. It's two sisters just trying to keep a brother alive. All right, they're just trying to do whatever they can. They sent word, Jesus, Lazarus is sick. We need you to come home immediately. We need you to come heal Lazarus. He is sick. We need you to come. And so they just do whatever they can to kind of keep him alive. All right, death is ugly. All right, death is not an enjoyable event, and their brother's dying, and they invite Jesus to come home, and he's a no-show. He doesn't show up. In fact, he just continues on for two more days to do ministry. And so there's this anxiety, there's this excitement for Jesus to come home, but he doesn't show up, and so Martha can't stop from looking to the past. Jesus, if only you would have been here. Where were you? Now, it's easy for us to identify with that, right? It's kind of easy for us to place ourselves in Martha's shoes. Whatever circumstance we have in our past, we can go, Jesus, where were you when my loved one passed away? Jesus, where were you when my marriage dissolved? Jesus, where were you when I lost my job or I lost my finances? God, where were you when I was neglected or abused? God, where were you when my child ran away from the faith? Whatever it is, we can identify and ask God, where were you? You came too late. You didn't show up. If only you would have been there for me, God. We have a lot of people hung up on the past. A lot of people can't reconcile the past with a loving God. They look to their past. They look to whatever they've gone through. They look to whatever situation or circumstance that they've faced, and they can't reconcile a loving God with their past. Because what they do is they fix their eyes. They can't believe God would actually love someone like me. Oh, that good news, that saving grace, that stuff's all for good people that God wants to save. That's not for someone like me. God would never love someone like me. God can never redeem or fix my past. God is the gospel's for good folks. But people like me, that's not for me. Church, let me tell you this. Whatever darkness you have in your background, Jesus is giving hope to your past. Whatever darkness you have in your background, whether it was because you chose to sin or because you were a victim of sin, Jesus gives hope to your past. How? Because he's bringing in hope to your present. And we're going to get there in a second, but I want you to understand there is hope to your past. Don't get hung up on your past. We've all gone through circumstances. Just because, you know, you may feel like your struggles are worse than mine. Listen, we all have different struggles. My sin may not be your sin, but God has redeemed me from my sin, just like he can redeem you from your sin. So understand this, that the darkness that you have in your past, the struggles that you have in the past, the trouble you have in your past, Jesus comes to bring hope to your past. So Jesus comes to bring hope. However, Martha, as she's just about to get real with Jesus, right? She's getting real. God, if only you would have been here. What does she do next? Read verse 22. Because she kind of backs up. She backpedals. She's putting on the pressure, and then she kind of backs up. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. And this is what I like to call a Sunday school answer, right? You ever been in a Sunday school class or a small group setting, and you know, especially doing this with students before, you would ask them something really hard about their life, like, you know, what is the thing that drives you? What is the purpose of your life? What is the thing that you are so excited about your future? What do you think is your life going to be about? And the answer for every kid that wants a good, easy cop-out is Jesus, right? Whatever it is, whatever you ask them, they just say Jesus, because it's an easy, safe answer. It's a Sunday school answer. It's textbook. Some of y'all have answered that question or answered hard questions before, and you just want to say what you're supposed to say. You just want to say whatever is easy. You want to say what you know to be correct, right? So Martha says, what is correct? Well, Jesus, if only you would have been here, I'm going to challenge you, but then she goes into a cliche. But I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. But I know, God, that, you know, you can handle this. I know, God, if you pray, you can comfort our hearts. I know, God, this is the right thing to say to you. Even though I'm challenging, I'm going to back up, and I'm going to give you a bumper sticker faith, right? It's cute. But it's shallow. It's shallow because as you read through this, Martha doesn't believe that. I mean, what does she do when Jesus is about to remove the stone from the tomb? No, 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 it's going to stinketh, right? That's the King James. It's going to stinketh, right? She stops because she doesn't really believe. She's got this shallow faith, this cute Facebook status faith, right? And I want to challenge you, church. Don't have this bumper sticker, easy to say, know what you're supposed to say, faith, because that is weak, puny theology. All right? That's weak. The Lord desires that you be real, that you be genuine. Have you ever read Psalms? David gets real with God. Have you ever read Jeremiah? Have you ever read Isaiah? Any of those prophets, they get real with the Lord. Did you ever read about Jesus in the garden? He got real with the Father. He was sweating drops of blood. He said, Lord, I want this cup to pass from me, but not my will, but yours be done. He got real with the Father. Church, when you get real with your faith, your faith gets depth. Okay? When you get real with your faith gets depth. It's okay to take your cares and anxieties to the Lord. It's okay to take your doubts and concerns, Lord, because He will reassure you. He will enter into your presence. He will enter into your present reality. He will reveal Himself to you. He wants to minister to you, church. Don't just back up and don't say, well, God is good and all the time God is good, because I know I'm supposed to say that, right? That's what we just kind of give cop-outs. We give little cliches, and that's what Martha is doing. And she's not challenging, and she's not gaining depth. This is kiddie pool stuff. Jesus wants to go to the deep end here. The church desires that we be real, or God desires that we be real with Him. Be genuine. Take it to the Lord, because Jesus is giving hope to your past. Now, before you think I'm getting a little hard on Martha here, I'm going to redeem her, because we got some good stuff happening. Because not only does Jesus give hope to our past, Jesus gives hope to our future. Not only does Jesus give hope to our past, Jesus gives hope to our future. What do we read in verse 23 as we go on through our text? Jesus said to her, He's reassuring her, your brother will rise again. She's like, Lazarus is dead. If only you would have been here, but I know you can handle this. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to Him, I know He will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. So what do we have here? Martha was just looking at the past, and where is she now? Way off in the deep, distant future, right? She went from one end of the spectrum all the way to the other. Jesus, if only He would have been here in the death, but I know one day, way down there, that He's going to rise again on the last day. She jumps all over the place. And so in Martha, Jesus responds to her challenge. He responds to her cliche cop-out by saying, your brother will rise again. And Martha goes way out there, way out to the past. After all, that is where her hope lies, right? That's the hope that she has in believing Jesus, the hope she has in following Jesus, the hope of her faith. And that's still our hope today. Well, here's what I want you to understand. Here's what I want to point out. Martha's not wrong. All right, I'm kind of being a little hard. I'm not trying to be. I don't want you to portray that. Martha's not wrong. Martha is very, in fact, much correct. Right? She is correct. However, her faith is not yet complete. So Martha's faith is correct. It's just that her faith is not yet complete. Because Jesus isn't just giving hope to her past. Jesus doesn't want her just to have hope for the future. What does He want her to have? Hope for the present. Right now. That's what He says as we go on. Number three, our point number three. He's coming with one very bold, direct statement saying, I'm not just talking about your past. I'm not just talking about the future. Jesus is bringing that hope that we have into our present. He's bringing the hope that we have that one day we will rise again. One day we will reign in eternity with Him. Our hope for eternal life is brought into our present. It is real. Because what does Jesus say in verse 25? Martha, Martha, Martha. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. It's not some distant hope. It's not just wishful thinking. Jesus says, no, I am actively and presently the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he physically die, right? Though he die, yet shall he live. Yet shall we spiritually live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? See, Jesus steps right into her present reality. Right? He steps right into her circumstances. right into her mourning the loss of her brother, right into death, and he says this, "Martha, I am the solution to the problem. Martha, I am the hope that you've been looking for. I am the life that you've been wanting and waiting for, and it's right now. It's not something in the past. It's not something that you have to wait for eternity. No, Martha, I am the life. I am the resurrection. I am who I say I am today. In the present. In the here. In the now." He didn't say one day, "Yeah, you're right, Martha. One day God's going to accomplish those things. One day eternity is going to be set." No, he's offering her hope, submitting himself as the solution, submitting himself as her hope right now. "I am the resurrection life. I have always been, I always will be, but I am the resurrection life in the here and in the now. In your circumstances, I am the resurrection and life. In your problems, I am your life. In your chaos, in your disappointments, in your victories and your valleys, I am the resurrection and the life." He is offering the hope that we have in eternity into our daily reality. I love that Jesus brings it all in. He didn't say, "Yeah, you're right. That's one day you got to hope for that. One day live for that, and one day you'll get there." No, he brings it right here. "Martha, I am the resurrection and the life." Because here's what we know, church, right? Martha's hope had been in eternity. Martha's hope had been in a future resurrection. But Jesus, when he made this claim, and when he raised Lazarus from the dead, he brought that hope into today. He brought that hope into her present reality. The resurrection and the life, church, isn't some future event. Y'all realize that, right? The resurrection and life is not just some future event. It's not some distant reality. It's here. It's now. It's something available to us through who? Jesus. What do we read in John 17:3? I'm going to turn over there. It's going to be on the screen. John 17:3, Jesus makes it abundantly clear. "And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Eternal life is now, church. We don't have to wait for eternity to have abundant life. Jesus is inviting us into life right now. Where does abundant life, where does eternal life come from? Knowing Jesus. "And this is eternal life, that they would know the one true living God and know Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." The life that we all want, church, the life that we all desire, it's all only and it's all in Jesus. I think as we've gone through this I Am series, that's been a persistent point that's come up, is that Jesus comes to give life and life abundant, right? John 10:10 has kind of been a focus on a lot of these passages, and that's where the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus comes to give us life and life abundant. Basically, he's saying that the life that we all desire, the fulfillment that we all want, the gaps that we have in our life is only going to be filled by Jesus. That everyone in this world, yes, they can have a good life. They can have a good job. They can have a good marriage. They can have a good home. They can do good things. But the abundant life, the fulfilled life, the life that has meaning and purpose and value is only in Christ. That's the life. That's the promise that we have. Why else would we follow Jesus? Just because we hope one day there's a resurrection life? No, because we can have that hope today. We don't have to wait someday. I don't have to wait to be fulfilled one day. I don't have to wait to have my satisfying life one day. I have it in Jesus Christ today, church. Do you believe this? Because I think that's the point that Jesus is making, is that I've come to give you life right now. Yes, I give you eternal life. Yes, that is your hope, but I'm giving it to you right now. You're secure. You're fulfilled. Let my love, let my purpose satisfy you, and we know that the only life that we can have that is fulfilling and abundant and purposeful is in Christ. He brings that hope into our present. He is the resurrection and he is the life. I hate to abuse my arm as an illustration, but the Lord has given me this arm to use as an illustration. And so I'm going to use it real fast with you guys because it has given me a lot of this here to apply. Because I too have been in a circumstance with my arm where I said, "God, where were you when I was born?" Right? Why weren't you there when I was made? Why did you make me incomplete? All right? Why didn't you finish the job? And so we all have circumstances. You can pick your own, identify with your past, and say, "God, where were you?" Right? And so this was mine. This is my arm. "God, what happened? Why'd you leave me hanging? Right? Why'd you leave me a little short-handed in life?" Right? All right, y'all think about that one at lunch. And I began to question God. I began to challenge God. And I was like, well, I could have gone its easy way out. Yeah, well, God, I don't know why. I don't know what you need. I don't know what you're doing. But okay, I'll trust you. And just I hope one day that there's heaven, right? Could have just said the easy Sunday school, shallow faith answer. But when I invited Jesus into my life and I surrendered my heart to Jesus and I gave my life to Jesus and I decided to respond to his saving grace and I decided to follow Jesus, that's when I found abundant life. No longer did I say, God, why'd you bring me this? I said, God, how can you use this? No longer did I say, God, where were you? I said, God, you're here now. How can you use me? And I have found purpose, church, in Jesus. When he says, I am the resurrection life, that gives me hope. That gives me purpose. That gives me fulfillment. That gives me nothing this world has ever given me or ever offered me. And it's only in Christ. So no longer am I looking to the past. No longer am I just hoping and wishing for the future. I'm experiencing the fullness of God right now, church. He promises to give us life and life abundant. And I found it. The question then remains, do you believe this? Do you believe this? Because he asked Martha, do you believe this? And I think that's the question left for us. It's very simple. It's not easy. But it's very simple. It's very simple. Do you believe this? Because it says, whoever believes, though he die, yet he shall live. Now there's two people in this room today, probably. And one, if you're not a believer. All right, if you're answering this question, no, I don't believe that. No, I'm not sure. Maybe you're on the fence. Let me just tell you this. If you're hung up on your past and you're not a believer in this room today, let me tell you this. If you're hung up on your sin, if your sinfulness was too much for Jesus, he would still be in the grave. That's the truth. If your sinfulness was too much for Jesus, he would still be dead. But he rose again. Amen. He rose again, and he is alive today, which tells us what? Your sin has been paid for. Your shame has been paid for on the cross. All your sin, all your darkness, all the stuff that's holding you back, Jesus has paid for it. It's been covered by the blood of Jesus. So don't challenge that, because if you say Jesus can't save you, you're saying that your sin is more powerful than the resurrection of Christ. And that's just not going to work, because Jesus has conquered sin, and he's conquered death, and he's defeated Satan forever. Do you trust him today? He wants to save you, church. Jesus came to save sinners. If you're hung up on your sin, you're hung up on your past, Jesus Christ has come to save you and to give you life. If you are a believer, which many of you are, if you're a Christian today, let me ask you this question. Where would you be if Christ had not saved you? Where would you be if Christ had not saved you? See, because here's what I know. When I got saved, whenever I decided to follow Jesus, everything about my life changed. Everything. Not only do I have this present hope and this present purpose and this present life in Christ, but it's changed my life for the better in every way imaginable. It changes the way I have a marriage and the way I pursue my wife. It changes the way I parent my children and the way I love them and try to push them towards Christ. It changes the way I spend time with people, knowing that the days are short, right, and that time is valuable. It changes the way I spend my money and the way I budget and finance. It changes everything because I have this future hope in Christ that's been brought into my present reality and has changed my life. Do you believe this? Because if you really believe, it'll change your life. If you really believe, Christian, that Jesus is the resurrection and he is the defining component, the defining person of your life, it'll change your present reality. Do you believe this? I hope you do. And I pray that you do. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. As we come to this time of invitation, I want to really encourage those who have not yet believed. In this service, next door, if you're not a Christian, Jesus desires to save you. Your sin, your darkness, your shame, your secret, whatever it is you're struggling and dealing with, he wants to save you. And because he rose from the grave, he is more powerful than your sin. And because he is alive today, he's paid the price for your shame. Would you just come and trust him as your Savior today? He is waiting, and he desires to save the lost, the last, and the least. Come to him this morning. If you are a Christian, are you living in the abundant life right now? Has it changed your life? Do you really believe? Jesus wants to move us beyond shallow faith. He wants us to move beyond cute cliches. He wants to move us on to genuine following of Him. Are you following Him? Are you surrendering to Him? Are you letting the future hope you have affect your present reality today? He wants to invite you to live an abundant life that He can only give. Father God, I ask this morning that You would work in this place. Lord, work in our hearts and work in our lives in a mighty way, Lord Jesus, for Your glory today. I ask for sinners, Lord, I ask for You to save lost sinners, Lord, that we might celebrate Your gospel. Celebrate the good news, Lord, that has come to save the lost and come to bring hope, Lord, to the hearts of men. God, I pray for those who are Christians, Lord, that they will live in the present hope that You give them today, Lord, that we don't have to wait for tomorrow, but Lord, You give us the life that we need, the life that we want, the life that we desire right now. Lord, and it's only in You, Jesus. I pray for our church, Lord, to be a family that searches for life in You alone. They don't search for life in anything else, in money or sex or, Lord, anything else in this world, but God, they will seek to find life in You alone, Jesus. God, I pray for You to work in this place, Lord, that You will work in a mighty way and You'll work in the hearts of our people today, all for our good and for Your glory. And it's in the powerful name of Jesus we pray. And God's people said today,